Hello, I am Ryan Fernand, and welcome to the Lord of the Films podcast. Tonight, I will be discussing the Oscar ceremony, which took place this past Sunday. And I welcome any viewers from Sheen's Corner. Hope you had fun watching that. I wouldn't say mess. I would have thought it would be a mess, but it was actually a pretty good variety show. It would probably be in top five of television if it was on television. It was pretty good. And if you're watching live, it's 11:02 right now. Hopefully I'll get it done by 11:30, this podcast, because SNL is on, and I kind of want to see how much of a train wreck that Miley Cyrus episode is going to be. I'm having a feeling it's going to be bad. But anyways, if you're listening to me not live on the recorded podcast on iTunes, you can catch me here live on Ustream. Just search Lore of the Films. And we will be, or I broadcast here every Saturday night at 11 o'clock, 11 p.m. So you can catch me here next week. What are we discussing? Next week I'm announcing my Green Sox Awards, my personal awards in film for 2009. Not 2010, but 2009. I wasn't able to release those yet, so I'll do that next week. You can catch the nominations announcement here next Saturday at 11 p.m. But let's get the show on the road. Tonight is I will be discussing the Oscar ceremony. And I guess I'll start off by talking about the hosts. And, you know, I thought they got a lot of flack from people. Anne Hathaway and James Franco, both of them did. I actually thought Anne Hathaway was perfectly fine. I really did. James Franco, on the other hand, was somewhat of a problem. But Anne Hathaway was a very good host, in my opinion. You know, she sang, she made jokes, she changed costumes many times, she even flirted with Kirk Douglas. She did a lot of things to make the ceremony work as much as possible. I mean, the ceremony was not that good. I actually thought it was better than last year's, where it was Alec Baldwin and Steve Martin hosted. I actually thought it was better. I know a lot of people did not think. A lot of people thought this was the worst telecast of all time. I thought it wasn't as bad, personally. And you could tell very much that Anne Hathaway was really trying. But unfortunately, I cannot say the same for James Franco, who definitely seemed like he didn't even want to be there. And his performance as a host definitely suffered from that. And, you know, I got really worried about how he was going to do after that pre-telecast, or during the red carpet. His interview he did with the host there, he just seemed so out of it. Many people were saying he looked like he was high, but that's normally what James Franco looks like. If you've seen James Franco in, you know, more than a few things, you know he always looks like that. So that was not, it was just his demeanor. He was just very, he seemed off. I personally don't think he was on any drugs. I just think he was in over his head, to be honest. I also don't believe in the performance art thing where he was trying to make it, he wasn't purposely trying. I just think he got way into over his head and just kind of gave up. So that's my opinion on the hosts. I'll continue next by describing what I thought the best part and the worst part of the ceremony was. I thought the best part of the ceremony itself was Kirk Douglas, when they brought him out to present Best Supporting Actress. I thought that he stole the show, as he basically acted like a troll on an internet forum. He just pretty much took the stage and wouldn't give it away. And normally that's very annoying, but it turns out that is quite funny when an old man does it. I mean, I personally loved it when he was, like, flirting with everybody. He was making everybody uncomfortable, just holding the stage forever. And then when he goes to announce the winner, he just holds everybody up and keeps on talking while he has the winner in his hand. I thought it was funny. I know it was very mixed. A lot of people hated that. A lot of people loved it. I personally loved it. But I thought the worst part of the ceremony was those weird film transitions or film history transitions. I don't know what you would want to call them. But they started off with, you know, Gone with the Wind. And they went on with all these movies before they presented each category. And my favorite film of all time, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, they did one for that, but it was for makeup. And when I think of that movie, I don't think of makeup being the huge technical achievement. I think it's more visual effects or score. And so it was just very weird. And then all the rest were pretty much just a distraction and served no real purpose, in my opinion. And so that was my least favorite part, and Kirk Douglas was my favorite part. So now let's get into a discussion of the winners. I'm going to pull up the winners because I personally forgot some of the much lesser known category. Let's start off with writing, original screenplay, where The King's Speech won. And not surprising at all, I predicted that. But Inception was by far, Christopher Nolan, by far the most deserving. I was really hoping the whole night that Christopher Nolan could pull off an upset and we could finally consider Christopher Nolan as an Oscar winner. But it wasn't to be. I knew that. It was obviously going to be David Seidler's work on The King's Speech, just because he was the frontrunner of The King's Speech. And David Seidler just had a perfect Oscar story about how he was a real-life stutterer, and he's finally gets the chance to make his own speech of sorts. And he did a very good speech, so he deserved it. He was, I guess, worthy. I mean, I wouldn't call him deserving. I take that back, but he was... It was nice to see him win, I guess. Not as great as to see Christopher Nolan. Next up was adapted screenplay, where the obvious frontrunner, Aaron Sorkin for The Social Network, won. And there was no big upset in this category, as last year, this was where the big upset of the night occurred with Up in the Air. Jason Reitman, I forget who his co-screenwriter was, lost to Precious, and I forget who that screenwriter was too, but I do remember he was the first African-American winner, so that was kind of cool in the category. Next up is visual effects, where the frontrunner Inception won. Very deserving, by far the best visual effects of the year. No real competition. On to sound mixing, which was Inception once again. It was the frontrunner, but wasn't as big of a frontrunner as True Grit, also a nominee in the category, beat it at the Guild Awards. I predicted Inception. I also predicted Inception for visual effects. So far I went 4-for-4, and Inception very deserving in sound mixing. On to sound editing. Once again, Inception won, very deserving. Once again, I predicted it, so that's, 5-for-5? I'm going to have trouble keeping track here. Then we go on to short film live action, where God of Love was the winner. Luc Matheny won the Oscar, and I heard people such as Christopher Tapley of Incontention.com say he is going to be a real star, and I would have to agree. He does have he's very charismatic, and it was nice to see him win. His film, I did not get the chance to see Nawiwi, I think that's how you pronounce it, but his film was by far the best of the group. I personally was not predicting it. I predicted The Confession. I thought the style of that film was more up the Academy's alley. Of course, I was wrong, and God of Love won. On to short film animated, where The Lost Thing won. I was predicting Day and Night. My favorite in the category was Let's Pollute. And you know what? I probably should have picked The Lost Thing, just because it was really gaining momentum down the stretch, and I just wasn't ignoring it the whole way, and I didn't pick it. I should have. But, you know, I didn't like this film as much as others did. I thought it was too out there, and I thought the purpose it served in the end didn't justify the weirdness of the film. It was just okay to me. So I would not say it was a deserving winner. On to Best Original Song, where We Belong Together by Randy Newman from Toy Story 3 was the winner. I predicted this to win, and to be honest, I guess I would have, if I had the chance, voted for the song We Belong Together. But this was such a weak category. There was no real good songs here. I mean, We Belong Together might be Randy Newman's worst song yet, but it was the best in this weak field. If I Rise was horrible, the song for 127 hours. So, yeah, it was a really weak category. I didn't even bother listening to the other two, but I have heard from others that it has been a very weak category. On to Best Original Score, where The Social Network, Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross pulled off an upset here. it's kind of weird that, you know, a member of Nine Inch Nails is now an Oscar winner, but that's that. People, or critics, absolutely loved the score, so they went nuts when this happened. I thought the score was actually out of place in the film. It, on its own, it's some great music, but in the film, it just didn't fit the material within the film, I thought. I thought Hans Zimmer's work on Inception was much better. I predicted Alexandre Desplat's work on The King's Speech to win on a shorter King's Speech sweep that never happened. So I was wrong there, but if I had to choose one of the scores here, I would have chosen Inception, but it was not to be. On to Best Makeup, where I unfortunately did not see any of the nominees, but I guess because it won, I now have to see The Wolfman. The Wolfman, you know, just critically derailed, came out in, I think, like, February, like, nowhere near Oscar time, is now an Oscar winner. Like, one of the weirdest movies you'd never expect is now an Oscar winner. That is The Wolfman. I also predicted The Wolfman to win. So, let's go on to Best Foreign Language Film, which I have only seen Dogtooth, which is just totally insane. I don't even know how it got nominated for an Oscar. And I mean insane in a bad way. It was just, oh my god. Like, it was just taboo-breaking for the purpose of taboo-breaking. It was a bad film. Really bad. Anyways, In a Better World won. It was also the Golden Globe winner. And this is one of those categories that if you really know what you're doing is very easy to predict. You always go for... The front runner never wins this category. You always go for one of the lesser-known titles to win. And that was In a Better World. I predicted it. So, on to Best Film Editing, which The Social Network won. I also predicted The Social Network to win. And I always said this was such a weak field without Inception nominated here. That film only succeeded because of editing. But anyways, it was not nominated. The Social Network won. And if I had to choose the best out of this field, it would be Black Swan. But I predicted The Social Network, and it won. On to Best Documentary Short Subject. On just total, like, pick a name in the hat, I just predicted The Warriors of Qui-Gon. And I was totally wrong. It was Strangers No More is the winner of this category. And I didn't see any of these films, so let's just get on to the next one, which was Best Documentary Feature, which the winner was Inside Job. I did predict Inside Job, and from what I heard, this was a very, very close race. And I personally was rooting for Restrepo, but it would have been interesting to see the drama that unfolded if Exit Through the Gift Shop won, just because of all of the will he or won't he show up with Banksy. It would have been interesting if he actually did show up. On to Best Directing, which is, I don't even consider this category real because Christopher Nolan was nominated. But to make it even worse, Tom Hooper won. He shouldn't even have been there, to be quite honest. Like, any of those directors could have pulled off what Tom Hooper did. I mean, he really, like, this will be one of those infamous categories for years to come. But anyways, I did predict Tom Hooper to win. And if I had to say who deserved it, it would have been Darren Aronofsky for Black Swan. But it was Tom Hooper, and this 2010, or the 83rd Academy Awards Best Director Award, will be considered one of the most infamous in Oscar history from now on. Guarantee it. On to Best Costume Design, where Alice in Wonderland was the winner. I predicted The King's Speech, assuming there would be a King's Speech sweep. It didn't happen. So Alice in Wonderland deservingly won here. On to Best Art Director, or let's go to Best Cinematography first, actually, where here was, I would say, the biggest shock of the night. Maybe it should have been a shock, because Wally Feister for Inception won the Critics Award, sorry, not the Critics, but the Guild Award. But everybody assumed, including me, that because Roger Deakins is so overdue, he would have won for this True Grit. But it was Wally Feister for Inception. And I did not think this was the most deserving of the year. I thought it was the best film of the year, Inception, but I don't think the cinematography on it was the best of the year. I thought Black Swan had the best cinematography of the year. But Wally Feister is so overdue, just like Roger Deakins, where I would have kind of been happy if either True Grit, Inception, or Black Swan won, and Inception won. So I was happy. Not my first choice, but I was happy. Now on to Best Art Direction, where Alice in Wonderland won. Again, I thought predicted King's sweep. I predicted the King's Speech, assuming a King's Speech sweep. That never did happen. So I was wrong here again. But honestly, Inception deserved to win this award because this film was about art direction. It was about the sets, the crazy, tumbling building, the... the first synopsis we got was a film about the architecture of the mind. It was all about architecture, so it deserved to win, but because it was kind of contemporary, of course it was not going to win. Of course they were going to go for either The King's Speech and Alice in Wonderland, and they ended up going for Alice in Wonderland. On to... It's called Animated Feature Film, but really, it's the Toy Story 3 award. And Toy Story 3, of course, won. It was far away frontrunner. There was no way it was going to lose this, so on to the next one, which is Best Supporting Actress, where Melissa Leo for The Fighter won. I predicted her. I would have preferred Hailee Steinfeld winning. And the way she came out on Oscar night onto the red carpet, she had, like, such the persona that you thought it was going to be Hailee Steinfeld's night. But I was predicting Melissa Leo. I just kept with it. I didn't feel like changing it at the end. And, of course, she won. And then to make it the first film in a while to have a film win, or sorry, The Fighter ended up becoming the first film, I forget, like 30 or 40 years, to win both Best Supporting Actor and Best Supporting Actress when Christian Bale won Best Supporting Actor. And I am so happy that Christian Bale is finally an Oscar winner. He did it on his first nomination even, but wow, this guy's had such a career. Batman is what he's known for, but it's one of his lesser roles in terms of how great it is. But it's great to finally say that Christian Bale is an Oscar winner. So on to the final three categories of the night. Best Actress. I was very nervous Annette Bening was going to upset here for a very undeserved win if it were to happen. It didn't, luckily, because Annette Bening's performance was nowhere near... It wasn't even the best performance in that film, but it was nowhere near Natalie Portman's performance in Black Swan. And can I just say that during the Oscar ceremony, they picked the perfect scene as her Oscar scene when they were showing the clips of the nominees, because that scene when she learns that she gets the lead role and calls her mother, that is a perfect scene of acting. They showed it, and Natalie Portman, of course, won. Very deserving. Best performance of the year, so I'm very happy she won. Best two performances of the year won in Bale and Portman. Very happy about that. The acting winners in general were very good. You know, Colin Firth, who was the winner and lead actor. I just said it, that Colin Firth was the best lead actor winner. He was the best in his field of the year. Natalie Portman was the best performance of the year. Christian Bale was the second best performance of the year. And Melissa Leo was the second best supporting actress out of her field. So very good winners overall in terms of acting. But then we get to Best Picture. And can I just say that it was kind of mean when they did that whole montage of the Best Picture nominees, and they did it with the voiceover of the King's Speech. But let me just say that in 10 years from now, Social Network is going to be one of the most critically acclaimed films in film history. Inception is pretty much going to be a religion with people are still going to discuss that ending for years and years to come. The King's Speech, however, will pretty much be forgotten, I guarantee you. And guess what? Of course, The King's Speech won. And it wasn't so painful knowing that it was going to win for a month now, which I want to get to that point in a second. But anyways, because we've known for such a long time, you know, it wasn't as bad. You kind of adjusted. You kind of knew King's Speech. You got used to it. And you just, at the end, it was like, yeah, you know, you knew it was going to win, so I guess it's okay. But let me just get back to that thing. We've known who the winners were going to be for a month now. There were no real upsets at all besides that even the cinematography one, which I said was the big shock of the night, you could have... I mean, Wally Feister won the Guild Award, which are always good indicators of who is going to win. So, in essence, that really wasn't that much of a shock. But I would like to say that maybe the Oscar ceremony should be moved up to January. I know it's been suggested in the past, even as early as this year. And I think they do have to go with that to make the ceremony just a little more interesting. But there was no shocks at all. And, you know, the award season just gets kind of tiring. And, you know, it starts in August with the film festivals. And then by January, you pretty much know who's going to win. And yet, early January, you pretty much know who's going to win. And then the ceremony doesn't even take place until late February or early March. I mean, you got to close the time up. And that is the last point I would like to make of the night. So that is the end of this episode. I am Ryan Fernand. You can catch me on Twitter at Ryan Fernand. Or you can go to my blog, the official blog of this podcast, which is lord-of-the-films.blogspot.com. Next week, I will be discussing my personal awards, the Green Sox, for film in 2009. I'll make a nomination announcement during this podcast time next week. Also, I would like to mention again that the podcast I did a few weeks ago live, my top 10 films of 2010 list, where I was only able to put part of it on iTunes, I will be able to put the second half on iTunes sometime soon. I just do not know yet. We have to find a time and schedule, but I will be releasing that. I do have the data to release that now. So thank you all for listening, and I will see you next Saturday. Goodbye. Shaking cold, these hands are meant to hold. Thank you. Gotta keep it strong, move along like I know you do. And even when your hope is gone, move along, just to make it through.